Tonight, this evening, I want to talk to you about our theme verse and some other references in the scripture. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, we are instructed to do everything, whether you eat or drink, anything we do, basically,
right,
for the glory of God.
Amen. That's right.
And I'll give you the background to this scripture. In this, Paul is writing a discourse on people eating or not eating meat that had been sacrificed to idols. And the sum of it was this: well, the meat's not going to hurt you, and so you can eat it, but if you have a brother that is offended by that, or someone who is not a Christian, who may be consider that as part of Christianity, you don't eat the meat. It's the principle of the weaker brother in the first case. Now, then in this discourse, that's why he gets into whether you eat or drink, do what you do for the glory of God, is because that's part of that discussion. But it can apply to our whole lives. And that is, whatever we do, do for the glory of God. It is easy to do that which is for the glory of God when you're among your brothers and sisters, like you are here tonight. It's when we're in the world that it gets a little testy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know. But before we can live for the glory of God, we must love the God of glory.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. That's right.
Yes.
Luke and Mark both spoke of, that is, writing Jesus' words to love God with all your heart and your neighbor as thyself. All your heart. Now, you know, there are different forms of love. I mean, I love football. That up there, no, that's eros. That's self-pleasing enjoyment. Okay? And then there is phileo, and that's brotherly love. You know, I love Fluffy and he loves me. You know, as brother in Christ. And then there's agape. Agape is the love that God has for us.
Right.
It's a love that requires no response. And it's a love, all love is chosen, regardless of where it's eros, phileo, or agape. You choose to get in love. You work to stay in love. I'm not saying that salvation is going to work. I know there were times that Barb and I had to work to stay in love with each other. And every married couple probably experiences that. But, you know, she went to the Father, our Lord, as I was holding her. And stayed to the very, very end. And I'm sorry to get all wet, something on that something. Even though it's been a number of years, it's still very vivid. In 2 Timothy, Timothy mentions those that love his appearing. He's talking about the return of Christ.
Right.
Yes. Now, we have two visions of the return of Christ described in the scriptures. One is where he's ascending into heaven, and the angels say to the apostles down there, while you're standing there looking around, he's going to come back in like manner. He was standing and he rose up in a cloud. He could be standing and come back in a cloud. But then there's another picture in Revelation chapter 19. And you see him riding a horse.
Yes. Right.
Now, these folks from Texas, they may be able to tell me whether the picture that I see in the scriptures tells me that he's just trotting and coming stately like the king, or whether he's coming fast to defeat the enemy. Either is possible. And Revelation pictures his saints coming with him, as Paul wrote in his description of meeting, coming for his saints and coming with his saints. And you're going to get in another whole discussion about what happens after we die, if you want a longer sermon, but for now we'll leave that. So, first, we must love the Lord. And there's a song that says, are you able? Are you willing? Are you willing to give everything you have, everything you got for the Lord? You gotta be sensitive to Him and what He is calling you to do. I never plan to move back to Kentucky. I'm a die-hard West Virginian. But you know what? If God wants you to do it, you do it.
Right.
And the trouble is, I'm also a die-hard alumnus of Kentucky Christian University. And we're only 45 minutes away from the city. But after 40 years picking up and moving again, why? Because God, by asking us to do the mission for Him, we went for mission reasons. KCU needed wanted a missionary on campus, and we needed a building and a good stable place where we could work, because it was getting a little rough in our neighborhood. And indeed, well, I won't go into that, but that goes along with praying for repentance in our bigger cities as well as our smaller. So we must first love the Lord before we can live for the Lord. Now, Paul says to do everything, whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. Everything. There are some things I'm not going to get into that we normally have to do. I don't know how it glorifies God, but we do it. I'm talking about bodily functions. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing heretical or sinful. But how do you make that for the glory of God? Well, you leave that up to God. But when you can, and when you do, and God gets the glory, that's what He means. Did you pray and give Him the glory before you ate today?
Yes.
Do you thank Him for the blessings that occasionally come along, even those that may involve things that you choose to do, things that you don't think of? I'm known for liking football. And one Sunday morning in Sunday school class, we were given thanks for things. And I was asked what I'm thankful for. I said, football. Why? That was shocking. I said, hey, I'm a blind person, and blindness is boring. I could have been worse. I could be a blind person in first century Jerusalem like Bartimaeus. How can you? I've tried to imagine standing day by day, every day, begging and being shoved around from people, get out of my way, shut up, whatever. That's what they did when he tried to approach Christ. And we have so many blessings we don't normally think of. Even the blessings of entertainment.
Right.
And you know, I don't have to be, I just can't imagine how it was, how terrible it was for him until Christ came. And Christ brought him out of that.
Yeah.
We've got to live for the Lord and be an example. And sometimes that's hard to do.
Oh boy, yeah.
It's hard to do when you're sick and you got the bug, or you even have COVID and you got to stay in your house for 5 or 10 days, and by the time you're done, you get cabin fever and you got fingernail marks in the walls because you've been flying. So, I mean, you know, it's hard to be thankful when you're in a situation where the stress of travel and so on and so forth. But Paul again wrote, be instant in season and instant out of season. And believe me, when you got the flu bug or something, you're out of season. You still have to be instant. Or you're on the airplane talking to somebody, you still have to be instant and kind and loving. Because, you know, how are people going to see Christ? They're going to see him through you, probably first, before they read his revealed word or listen to a minister's sermon. That's how the early church grew. They saw the difference. They saw the difference. On the first day that Peter preached the opening sermon, and they baptized about 3,000 people, and God added them to the church. I wonder if they got baptism at elbow, you know? baptizing that many. But they could see the difference. Today, I'm sad to say, sometimes we as Christians in our churches, we have so much baggage, historical baggage and personal baggage that we bring with us, that they didn't have in the early church. But we've got to live for God and overcome that.
Yeah.
We've got to be instant in season and out of season. The third point is, if we live for the glory of God, well, we love God, and then we live for the glory of God, then we shall see the glory of God. There's several ways that we shall see the glory of God, even today on this earth. Sometimes answered prayer or miracles happen.
Right.
I'll describe three that happened to me. Different. They're not all of the same level, but the things God will help you with. My brother was in Vietnam when I was at Kentucky Christian as a student. And I had a friend, he was from Long Island. We were talking.
I was over here when the marriage was, I was over, Taylor and his wife, and he had invited this poor single skinny student over for a good meal.
Is that right? Yeah, the light is on it.
The college
made it on. Yeah, there's a yellow light flashing on it at the very top.
Well,
it's
anyway,
on.
Talking,
it's on, but I'm wondering what did I push to before it clicked.
For Resurrection Day, break. And I was going back to my grandmother's house in West Virginia, in Charleston. I had my grandmother living there at the time, and some aunts and uncles. So instead, that's one reason I ended up at Kentucky Christian, even though I had lived in North Carolina when I registered. But if something would happen, it was only an hour and a half away for them to come and help. But I never needed that place before. Well, anyway, I got home, and I was in bed. That was Friday that we all went home. And Saturday, I'm laying in bed. Hey, I'm sleeping in, you know. My grandmother comes to me, Mike, get up. Dawn's on the boat. Well, I'm thinking, okay, I got two Dons, my dad and my brother. Well, I thought it was kind of odd that my grandmother would call her son Don instead of saying, your father, my son, is on the phone. And I said, Dad? No, your brother. Boy, that got me out of bed. So I pick up the phone, and Don starts talking. And I'm going, where are you? I kept asking. He keeps talking. Finally, he says, San Francisco. I'm coming home. And later, I found out what had happened. They were in a little tent-like structure where they housed the people then, called a hooch. And my guys were sitting around talking. When the CO comes in, the commanding officer comes in and says, fellas, if you want to go home, you've got 10 minutes to pack up and get on that aircraft.
Oh, goodness.
They got on, and my brother got on the aircraft. Now, not all his buddies were in this hooch or in this group that went, but they got on the aircraft. And as they were rolling down the runway, the plane behind them, people who do such things flagged that plane down and they unloaded it.
Oh, no.
24 hours later, they had a major battle there. And the camp was temporarily overrun. God answered prayer. Now, why he answers no in some of them or wait in some of them, I'm not going to try to tell you. Because back in the mind of God, we wouldn't need God. Buddy, I need God. It wasn't anything we did to get him home. It was God. It was an answer to prayer because Harry DeRitter and I decided we're going to pray that Don will get home from Vietnam. We just didn't. I guess, oh Lord, help our unbelief, because we were really shocked, and when I came back to school and told Gary that what happened, he was really shocked. But why should we be?
Right.
Yeah.
The second miracle, sometimes you're in a situation that you just can't help getting into and you need help getting out of.
Yeah.
Such a situation was Barb and I were in a church in Chicago, and we were going to Amtrak station, and it was getting time for us to get on the train, and we had all this luggage. We had, you know, BBS, we're going around the country, vacation Bible schools, and all these camps and all these different things. So, man, I got a trunk and suitcases and generally, things that generally didn't make luggage technicians too happy.
But anyway, I said, oh, we need a red cap. And you can never get one. They're hard to get because they're all busy. People are faster than me in responding. So we went to a side door because we were late. We didn't pull up. And we're all running, you know, and the preacher and his wife is helping us. And we're coming down the stairs and we're praying. I mean, we're praying. We need help. But we're running way behind. And I keep praying, we need a red cap. And there, at the bottom of the stairs, stood a red cap, was an empty coffin. Sometimes miracles are great big things, like healings or getting your brother back from war. And sometimes they're little things, but they help you out of real jams.
Yes.
Speaking of medical, at Gateway Church of Christ, where I attended church before I moved to Grayson, another good church, and they invite them to pray for revival too. But anyways, we had a child in the congregation, a family. I had a child in the congregation. They had been diagnosed with a brain tumor.
Ooh.
And as I remember, the child wasn't too old, but it wasn't like an infant. You know, it was more like maybe grade school age. I didn't know the family very personally, just because of, you know, we ran in different crowds. But we all pray. We absolutely all pray. And in about 2 weeks, they x-rayed him. They hadn't had him in any operation or treatments because they were still running tests. But they had the image of the tumor on the MRI. After about 2 weeks, while they're still doing tests, they give him another MRI, and the tumor's gone.
Wow.
Now, what made that utterly astonishing is, you know, we had nurses and stuff in that worked in our hospitals, and maybe the parents gave permission, but we got the plates, copies of the plates of the pictures of those MRIs, and they put them up on the screen. Wow. I mean, you could see, from what was described to me, the ugly black spot. And then the second. Well, we folks at Church of Christ and Christian churches aren't known for getting really rowdy or whatever, but I'll tell you what, we had a celebration that day.
Oh, amen.
Clapping, the yelling, the screaming, amen. It was great.
All right.
It was great. So sometimes we see the glory of God in those things that happen to us that God gives us as gifts. Mm-hmm. But the greatest glory that we will see, if you're blind and you follow Christ, the next thing you will see will be Jesus Christ coming.
Amen.
And
amen.
His glory.
Amen. Yes.
I don't know whether he'll be just standing on his feet or whether he'll be actually on a horse. But you'll see him coming. I'll see him coming. It will be the next thing we see, and it will be glorious.
Amen. Amen.
And it will be worth every bit of trouble, every bit of grief that we've taken on as being Christians by an unchristian world. And we will go home with him. So, in closing, I'd like to ask you one question. Have you been living for Christ, for God's glory, for Christ's glory? And yes, you can use them interchangeably because Jesus said, the Father and I are one. and nobody comes to the Father to save me. Mm-hmm. And you need to live for His glory. I can think of times that I've fallen short, groused with people, kind of things. I've done some awful things in my life. But you pick yourself up and you continue on, and we have an advocate before the Father when we do fall. But you keep on, and you keep on till the end, till the very, very end, and the reward. You know, the night before Barb died, she was proofreading the book, Basic Bible Studies. I have her notes still with her brother. I cannot break myself to them. But we are told to be faithful until the end.
Yep.
You know? And she was faithful until the end. Yep. And that's another blessing that I will receive. When I get up there, yes, I want to meet my Lord Jesus. And secondly, I want to meet my Barbie doll.
Amen.
So, live for God's glory, and you will see His glory. Well, we offer an invitation if anybody is not a Christian. In our churches, we baptize you into Jesus Christ, just like Peter did in Acts chapter 2. But you know what he said about that? Everybody quotes, you know, in our church of Acts 2:38. And then 2:37, they asked Peter, "Well, men and brethren, what shall we do after the first gospel sermon?" And say, he said, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and to receive, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And then the important part comes. This promise is not for you only, but it is for those afar off, as many that are chosen. And so, what do you think afar off is? Far off in time? That was roughly 2,000 years ago. I'm rounding off. And it's also far off in place. I don't know how far, I don't know where. I've been told that, like in West Virginia or Kentucky, you drill down to the other side of the earth, you'd end up somewhere in the Indian Ocean. You won't go to China. You know, I don't know how far Jerusalem is. Been there, but I couldn't tell you the mileage. I'm sure we could look it up if it was that important. But we're afar off. And each one of us that lives, wherever we are in time or place, has the opportunity to live for the glory of God.
Amen.
Thank you.